From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of November 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, G20 ministers plan to discuss IMF funding in December. The House and Senate Ag Committees say they are close to releasing a compromise farm bill for assessment by the Super Committee. And farmland in the state of Indiana has skyrocketed by more than 20% in price in the last year. It's the largest increase since 1977. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. Hey, and don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat contract at 6.38¾, up 2 cents. Soft red July at $7.04, 3 cents higher. Hard red Kansas City wheat at 7.53½, up 5¼. December corn futures down 2½ cents today to settle at $6.53¼. March at $6.65¼, down a penny. May futures at $6.72¾, a half lower. And July at $6.76¾, down 1½ cents. December futures settled $6.12, 3/4 of a cent lower. November bean futures on the day, a settlement price at $11.92¼, down 20¼. January at $12.01¾, down 19¼. And the March contract, $12.11½, down 18½. July, $12.31, down 16½. And November beans of next year at $12.18½, down 11½ cents. Bean meal at $3.09.30, down 6.10. Bean oil at $51.20, down 67 cents on the day. Live cattle futures finished the February contract at $125.27½, 62½ cents lower. January feeder cattle at $146.77½, down 62½ cents as well for 100 pounds. And the lean hogs on the afternoon, February contract $88.40, finished $1.70 lower for a Monday. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can always find us online if you'd like at WILLAG.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, December contract, $95.50 a barrel, up $1.26. Ethanol at $2.65 and 9 cents. That's a penny and a half lower. December natural gas at $3.69½, down 8 8/10 of a cent. And heating oil or diesel fuel, $3.12 and 2/10 of a cent, 5 2/10 of a cent higher. Gold futures on the day at $1,790.30 an ounce, up $35. The Dow at 12,026, just about 42 points higher on the day. And the dollar at 76.97 is up 0.01. The CRB index, Commodity Research Bureau index, at 321.23. That's up 0.79 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm, cloudy, a high near 59 degrees, south-southeast winds between 6 and 8 miles an hour. The chance of precip is set at 70%. That precipitation rain should be just about a half inch or less. Tonight, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm continuing before midnight, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight, cloudy, a low of 54 degrees, south-southeast winds between 6 and 13, gusting to 16. Chance of precipitation this evening in the area set at 70%. And on Tuesday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy, a high of 67 degrees, south winds at 14 to 18 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 26. On Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 33 degrees, sunny on Thursday, a high of 45. Veterans Day, mostly sunny with a high near 50. That's Thursday. And then Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 35. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 55. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 44. Sunday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy and breezy, a high near 62 degrees.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us now, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take up the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about this marketplace. It continues to move erratically.
Continued consolidation type of trade. Amazing, since the MF Global situation has come up, if you look at the chart, basically we've been going sideways. I mean, we've had some ups and downs. Well, particularly corn, we've been going sideways a little longer than that, but it kind of appears the market's finding some buying interest on dips and probably some selling interest on rallies, and it's probably going to remain in this pattern here until we move on down the road. Ideas were that we could possibly see the market take a stand here and see a move here Wednesday once the numbers are released on the USDA as far as supplies, loss numbers, and so forth. But the thing is, now we've learned that the CME has petitioned the USDA to postpone the crop report until Monday, and part of this is probably tied to the global situation that we've seen here as they try to continue to move accounts and try to move funds to a new home there, Todd.
Yeah, can we talk about that just a bit? We have taken it up, but not in great detail. And so some of the things that our listeners, producers who are not impacted, at least by MF Global at this point, would like to know is why CME would want to wait until Monday and have that USDA report paused. I assume that might be part and parcel because there are open positions that producers and others who were trading with MF Global have not been able to liquidate at this point, and they're stuck in that position until they get it moved over to a new account. Is that correct?
Yeah, you could probably there are several people on your program that clear through MF Global. They'll probably be a better one to visit to on this position.
Well, I prefer it. I bet they would prefer not to do that. So that's the reason and you clear through ADM.
Well, ADM Investor Services, yeah. And we've received a huge, huge amount of these positions through our clearing firm. We're one of the ones that's was found to be able to do this. So we've been on the fortunate side trying to help a few of these people out. But MF Global, they were huge. I mean, they were one of the larger ones, and they were a large grain player in particular. Then also, too, they were huge in the Australian market. So you can just go around the world and see where they've dominated. I can't say dominated, but were a big player, for say. And a lot of local short-term traders were in the marketplace, and we've lost some liquidity. But not all these positions are transferred. A lot of these positions are still locked up in bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the judge himself is making margin calls on these positions. Since he's got the list there in front of him, supposedly.
Right.
But I think it's a political stand here that, man, I can't do anything. I don't know where I'm being transferred to. I mean, communication's been slow. The transfer process really didn't start till late last week. A slug of them moved again today. And the CFTC stepping in and trying to maybe do that too, because if there would be a earth-shattering number on this report and you'd have a big move, man.
It could devastate people.
Correct.
Because they couldn't get out of the position, because they physically, I mean, they legally could not get out of a position that they were in.
If it's locked up still in bankruptcy, you can't touch it, correct.
If it hasn't been transferred to one of these other clearing firms. And just to be clear, there, ADM Investor Services is a clearing firm, and some of the accounts are being transferred to them. I think there are six total, but it seems to me that there are maybe six or seven only clearing firms that clear at the CME Group anyway, so everybody's pretty much taking a few of these, and that MF Global, if I remember correctly, was three times as large as the next clearing firm down. So this is an enormous firm that's being redistributed into the other clearing firms. And so it's interesting to watch and probably heartbreaking if you're one of those who had a trade on with MF Global, I would think.
It's a bad deal. Hopefully they'll work through it. And plus, too, we've got an FBI investigation going on top of this. So, you know, they're trying to sift through this, and it just takes plain time.
Right. So it takes time. And so CME Group has petitioned then the United States Department of Agriculture to give them some time to move these accounts around and to get everybody even as they possibly can, I take it.
And as far as we know, the petition said Monday, so
okay.
We'll see what further details come out of this. I'm not seeing the exact wording or the exact petition itself, so it'll be interesting to see what happens here over the next 24 hours.
And I don't have that in front of me either. Okay, so now let's go back to the market. We're trading sideways. Without MF Global, the scary part could have been the liquidity might have come out from underneath the marketplace, which would have caused not a sideways trade, but potentially really wild swings in the marketplace. So do you see the consolidation and the sideways trade as a good pattern?
Over the near term, I don't necessarily, just specifically in grains, I don't know if there's a lot of bullish news to go sharply higher or sharply lower.
Right.
I think it goes back to the theory of harvest is fairly well wrapped up, so producers have pretty well where they want to be, so the tendency of the markets stay firm until year end to try to shake some loose in here. Probably the biggest disappointment or the biggest thing to watch is the soybean complex. If we do see a report here over the next few days or next week, the fear is bean yields a little higher and demand is going to slow down somewhat compared to what the previous reports showed. Also, too, there's more and more reports of a bigger production prospect taking place in the southern hemisphere. They've done quite well getting their crop in, and the weather forecast remains favorable for maybe a record production of soybeans out of the southern hemisphere. So fundamentally, that'd probably be the area that would need to watch as far as some negative news continuing to maybe pull the market lower if it does.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Oh, man, I've been doing this for about 29 years. And we've gone from conveyor belts breaking down in Brazil.
Oh, I remember that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
To Chernobyl, Ivy. I've got to sit down and write a book someday. This is amazing, the things that pop up.
You know, the best one I had to report on the air live one day was that the market was moved when Mikhail Gorbachev was the head of the Soviet system. And there was a story that moved the market that he'd been assassinated, which was not, of course, true, but I had to air that. I had to report that on the air, and it's interesting to watch the markets and how they move, and now we've got Greece and MF Global. And it's always fun.
You never know.
No, you don't. Okay, well, you have a good afternoon, and we'll talk to you again next week, okay?
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you much. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You can always find our agricultural programming on the website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, finance ministers from the group of 20 major economies will meet next month to discuss boosting the funding resources at the International Monetary Fund. That, according to South Korea's deputy finance minister, who says more details have yet to be decided on the planned meeting. G20 leaders reached a broad agreement at their summit last week to help stop the Eurozone crisis. Countries such as Britain, China, and Australia say they are ready to inject new funds into the IMF, either through bigger quotas or through additional money for the IMF's new agreements to borrow crisis fund. G20 finance ministers are scheduled to meet in February, and the planned December meeting will probably not affect the February gathering. The chairman and ranking members of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees are close to finalizing a farm bill proposal to send to the supercommittee in charge of deficit reduction and could release it today. Meanwhile, a coalition of 27 House members, led by Representative Ron Kind, a Democrat from Wisconsin, and a key critic of the 2008 Farm Bill, has sent the supercommittee leaders a letter urging them not to consider the proposal. The letter said in part, "We urge the Joint Select Committee to resist proposals that would go beyond its mandate of deficit reduction and authorize new, complicated agriculture programs that have not been the subject of congressional review. The Joint Select Committee should instead act to find efficiencies within existing programs." It's been a record-setting year for Indiana cropland. Craig Dobbins with Purdue Extension's Department of Farmland Economics says the university's annual report shows statewide increases in cropland value of 22.8% to 25.3%. The average per-acre value of bare Indiana cropland ranged from $4,386 for poor-quality land to $6,521 for top-quality land. Those numbers mark the largest increase since 1977, and land prices have continued to climb. Pat Karst, vice president of Halderman Real Estate Services out of Wabash, says it's not uncommon to see land selling in excess of $8,000 per acre. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find anytime you like off our website at willag.org. That's willag.org, or on your smartphone at m.willag.org.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
This quick update on the story that I was speaking of with Kurt Kimmel out of Bates Commodities. It was not actually the CME Group that had asked the United States Department of Agriculture to delay its monthly supply and demand reports, but rather R.J. O'Brien who did that today. The commodities brokerage firm R.J. O'Brien sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture requesting its delay of its monthly supply and demand report to give traders a chance to deal with the fallout, of course, from MF Global's bankruptcy.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Up next, each December, the ag economists from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois make their way around the state. The dates and the agenda, as you'll hear, have been set. Normally, when I talk with you, I'm reporting on something the professors or extension specialists from the University of Illinois have explored. This time around, I'm something of the expert. Each December, the Ag Economist, the Farm Doc team from Illinois, let me host their Illinois Farm Economics Summits. I'm humbled and grateful. These are extraordinary education events. I watch them 5 times as we make our way around the state of Illinois and learn something new each day. Now, personally, I think you should make your reservation right now, but let me first tell you what you'll learn about during the December Illinois Farm Economic Summits. This last year has been one of great market turmoil. The outside markets endured near financial meltdown in Europe, a downgrade in the U.S. credit rating, and political turmoil in the Middle East. And in the midst of this, Illinois agriculture generally experienced another year of really exceptional returns. To no one's surprise, volatility has also been really high. Exhibit A is the 20% drop in corn and soybean prices in September. Understanding the sources of this volatility and how to deal with these large risks is front and center in this year's meeting. Now, speakers from the FarmDoc team at the University of Illinois will explore farm profitability and outlook and management challenges from several perspectives, including the direction of prices, governmental reports and data, estate planning, forecasting returns, crop insurance choices, don't think that one's not changing, and changes in the farm programs. Well, the format for the meeting, as always, will be fast-paced, but it does allow plenty of time for questions from you. You can sign up today on the FarmDoc website, not FarmDoc Daily, but FarmDoc. They're connected, so it doesn't matter where you start. The FarmDoc address is farmdoc.illinois.edu. The cost is $50, $65 if you just show up at the door. We'll be in Champaign December the 12th at the iHotel at the Center for Agriculture. That's the DeKalb County Farm Bureau building in Sycamore on Tuesday, December the 13th. At the Best Western in Galesburg on the 14th, the Holiday Inn Mount Vernon Thursday, December the 15th, and in Bloomington at the Doubletree on Friday the 16th. The Illinois Farm Economics Summits. If you're involved in agriculture, you should register today on the FarmDoc site, and I'll see you in December. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Time now to check the cash grain market. On the phone line with us from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County is Carolyn White. Good afternoon to you, Carolyn.
Good afternoon, sir.
I bet you have a quiet day for a change there.
It has been a little quiet. The rain has kind of put a damper on things here for guys. Got a lot of guys that have finished this weekend and maybe don't have a whole lot to go. So, you know, the rain's going to give them a little break and hopefully they can get back at it and get her buttoned up.
Are beans all done in the area?
I think pretty much.
And corn, you said buttoned up. Let me ask you, how much have you got coming in and how much you think is still going in the bin?
Oh, gosh, but there's still corn going into the bin. I mean, our receipts here have, you know, kind of drastically fallen off here, but that's to be expected. I mean, you know, guys have been at it. We've had really good weather here, and guys have been at it hard and heavy, so.
Well, they've shut those bin doors. You think they should unlock them and reward the marketplace anytime soon?
Depending on what percent they're sold, maybe. I don't know. You know, that's certainly a mixed bag.
Indeed it is. Well, how about this? Tell me about what's been coming in and how much is staying put there in the elevator and how fast you're moving it out.
Guys have probably forward contracted, I don't know, I'm going to say 50 to 60% anyway. And if they do have bin space, have probably filled that and maybe utilized a little bit of DP for maybe some prices going to be getting a little better here. Doesn't sound like we may have a report on Wednesday that may be delayed. So I don't know. I think they're kind of waiting to see what that may bring
Your bids for the day.
Cash corn here at the Andersons for November and December, 663. Jan Feb, 665. Cash soybeans for November, 1183. December and Jan, 1188.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Carolyn White. I'll be back in just 2 minutes.
It's National Bittersweet Chocolate with Almonds Day. The cultivation of seeds that produce chocolate date back at least 3 millennia to Central America and Mexico. The earliest documented use was around 1100 BC, with the Maya and Aztecs making bitter chocolate beverages. On this day in agricultural history in 1807, Tom Brassey was born. An early English railway contractor, he built railway lines worldwide. He laid tracks in England, France, the Netherlands, Italy, Prussia, Spain, Canada, India, Australia, and South America. In all, he built more than 6,500 miles of track. In 1872, the Mary Celeste sailed for Genoa from New York with a cargo of 1,700 barrels of alcoholic spirits. The ship was found abandoned near the Azores, the captain, his wife and daughter, and seven crewmen missing, and no sign of violence. The captain, his family, and the crew were never seen again. In 1923, Michael Joseph Owens died. He is credited with the invention of the automatic glass bottle-making machine. And in 1928, Norton David Zinder was born. An American biologist and molecular geneticist, he studied a species of salmonella and discovered how genetic material is transferred from one bacterial cell to another by the means of a virus. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check the ag weather forecast. Mark Russo is on the phone line from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Take me through the weather in the Midwest first, please.
Yeah, well, a pretty stormy week on tap, especially over the next couple of days as the storm system now beginning to get its act together across the Plains region, pushes out into the Midwest and intensifies. And as a result, we can see showers and thunderstorms over the next 48 hours or so. Out ahead of a cold front that will be pushing across the region in association with that storm system. And in fact, this looks to be kind of the wettest 48 hours that we've seen here, and actually in quite some time here across the Midwest, as numerous areas look to receive generally a half to 1.5 inches, but even some localized heavier amounts after that, in addition to that. Then we're going to have kind of cool and dry conditions during the second half of this week before another storm system impacts the region late in the upcoming weekend.
And then if you turn your attention to the southwest, will they be getting rainfall too?
Yeah, these storm systems are producing more widespread significant precipitation in portions of the Plains hard red winter wheat belt. Not as much in Texas per se, but much of Oklahoma, especially northern and western sections and central, and also up into Kansas, look to receive most of the significant precipitation, with maybe the exception of far southwestern Kansas. But certainly the storm system will impact and help to improve some of the soil moisture conditions across portions of the hardwood winter wheat belt.
Hey, how about South America? What's your view there?
Well, Todd, South America continues to be in good shape at this stage of the season. They've been getting rains across Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, and Brazil, have not seen any kind of extreme temperatures, and we see overall these general favorable conditions over the next couple of weeks. So no issues at the present time, and we do not see that changing over the next couple of weeks.
How about the rest of the winter wheat growing regions in the Northern Hemisphere?
Well, we are in pretty good shape here across areas of China and also across much of Europe, Ukraine, and Russia, although there are a few dry pockets in portions of Ukraine, particularly far western and eastern Ukraine, so a little bit of concern across that area. But outside of that, pretty good shape here from a winter wheat standpoint.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
And that is Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Dave Dickey and I will be traveling on Wednesday of this week. That happens to be report day, so we'll have our reports, but we'll probably have the numbers and the reports in the morning for sure for you. It's quite likely that I will not be in place to do the Closing Market Report for you in the afternoon, and that will be a pre-programmed program for you. But tune in. We'll make sure that we have something good and exciting. To the best of our knowledge, we kind of are in the opinion that while the USDA has been asked to move that report because of MF Global, it's pretty unlikely that will happen. So we're pretty sure that the report probably will be released on Wednesday as usual. Thanks for listening today. This is the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you, of course, from the University of Illinois and Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.